Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and today we are Paul-less. I don't know where Paul is right now, but he's not here doing this episode particularly. He may be back or somebody may be back to help us do our third score, but we only have one guest here today, and he was actually the one who sort of inspired it by one of his posts. So please welcome James L. Edwards. How are you doing, James?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Yeah, I remember seeing a post of yours about this, and I guess you're either you're a Tiffany or you're a Debbie or you're a both fan. I'm not sure which one.
I am a recent fan of both of them. I mean, I was a fan of them when in the 80s, but I kind of forgot about them. And for some
Right.
reason, now I am completely obsessed with them as of late. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't, well, hey, you gotta have some kind of obsession these days.
Right, exactly. I
Might
mean,
as well be pop stars from the 80s.
let's put it this way. I'll even go as far as to say that for this episode, I pulled out my signed Tiffany 8x10 and my signed Debbie Gibson. So there you
Nice. Well, that's awesome.
go.
This is an audio podcast, but I will probably put that on one of the TikToks.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. So, thank you so much. This actually won't be up to like April, I think. So, it's gonna be a while, but I felt like this would be the perfect one to do is Megapython versus Gatoroid. What a title, right? And we
Yet another wonderful product from the asylum.
absolutely the probably one of the most fun from the asylum, I will say. Like.
I'll go as far as to say the only asylum production I've ever seen that was watchable.
Well, we will get into that, but before we do, we're going to listen to some mood music. And we are back. All right. Yeah, so you just said this is one of the most watchable of their films.
The
And
only watchable of their films.
the only watchable. I don't know. I mean, I'm a fan. I've been a fan since Feast of Bray Road, which, I've talked about this before on multiple podcasts, but I'll share it again. Is like I had a really crappy day once, and I was like, you know what's gonna cheer me up? Sci-fi channel. That always cheers me up because there's always something goofy and bad on it, right? And I watched Beast of Bray Road, and I'm like, it's actually a pretty decent movie. It's a fun little werewolf flick.
As far as the asylum goes, and again, I don't know what's the asylum and what's sci-fi. Did asylum have anything to do with their series Z Nation? Or
Yes. Yes.
okay, see, I love Z Nation, and were they involved in Blood Drive?
I don't think so. But I know they did the other one after Z Nation, which was like a spinoff, like Black Summer or something like that.
Oh, one that Netflix ended up putting on, that was horrible.
I don't know, but I guess it was like a spinoff of Z Nation or something.
Okay.
So yeah, it was they basically so the Asylum did a lot of different stuff. They started out in I think early 2000s or maybe even late 90s with stuff that David Michael Latt was doing, and then he created the Asylum, and then they started to just make mockbusters,
Right.
generally. And then aside from the mockbusters, they got into this thing where they did like Mega Shark and all these different, two-headed shark attack, 12-headed shark attack, whatever.
Right.
And I didn't realize this before, but I guess Chris Olin Ray line produced the film, and he's directed many of the, other ones too.
And Mary Lambert from Pet Sematary 1 and 2 directed it.
I know, right? So I think
How
that's probably why you think it's the most watchable, because it's actually a really well-directed movie if
Oh, yeah.
you look at it. The acting is cheesy at times, but most of the time it's pretty like standard,
Right.
like it's not people overacting or being like saying their lines just like god awful. They're just generally they're pretty decent. So, So how can you describe the story of this movie?
The story basically, I mean, the only way to really describe this movie is just goofy fun. It's an amazing guilty pleasure movie that has like this environmentalist message, yet some of the worst CG effects you've ever seen, just some of the most unbelievably bad CG. And we get to see Debbie Gibson and Tiffany fight in a cat fight in a lake. That's all I've ever wanted. So it's like, okay, count me in.
Yeah, I mean, they had to have been like sort of rivals back in the 80s because, you know,
Now, if
they
you
were.
listen to them, they claim no. They claim they played that up, but no, they it wasn't a matter that they were they weren't rivals, and they really didn't ever get the chance to even connect. Occasionally, they'd run into each other, but that's about it. So yeah,
Right.
if you're to believe what they have to say years later, then no, they were not rivals.
Right. No, totally. So they, well, I mean, but you would, yeah, you would think at least they would play that up because, you know, they are, it's sort of like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were like best friends, you know,
Right.
because they were always sort of put together in different things. They're on shows and different stuff. So they all hung out together, you
Right.
know. Which is sort of funny to think about, you know. Like, can you think about these like musicians that are just like in the, you know, on a bus together, all hanging out, just, you know, chatting about like which girl they slept with or, you
Right.
know.
Oh, exactly. Well, do you remember there was an, I don't know if the Asylum did it or not, but there was another. It was a zombie western. I think it was called Dead Seven.
Dead Seven. Yep.
Okay, did you see that as
Starred a
well? Or...
bunch of NSYNC,
Right.
Backstreet Boys. And all the other pop bands, you
Right.
know, at that time, like seven of them from different bands or whatever. And I own it, I think, somewhere in one of my DVDs, but I never watched it.
Right.
I bought it and I wanted to watch it and I wanted to do it for the show at some point. I think I'm going to with Jackie, because she, I remember me getting it and showing it to her and going, oh my God, that sounds terrible, but awesome, you know. I was in an Asylum movie. Yeah, I was in Collision Earth, which
Okay.
starred Eric Roberts.
Oh, okay. I've seen the pictures of you with Eric Roberts. I wasn't sure what that was from, though. Okay.
Yeah, and it was really cool. Like, it was a fun little experiment. So, I mean, I really respect the Asylum. I respect what they do, you know. I respect the fact that they get these like crazy movies out on sci-fi, or I don't
Right.
even know if they still have a sci-fi deal
I was,
anymore because,
well, do they, is the asylum still around or?
yeah, Asylum's
Okay.
still making a million things. Every, you know, I still keep in touch with the guy, one of the guys who runs it, Paul Bales, and I follow each other on Twitter, so
Okay.
we'll occasionally, you know, tweet at each other or comment or whatever.
Right.
It's always nice when I see him comment on my stuff, you know, randomly, because it's like, oh, he's, you know, he can see what I'm saying. It's kind of neat. Yeah, and I review a lot of his movies too. So I, and generally speaking, they're just stupid fun, you know? Like, they're not, if you take an Asylum movie seriously, you need to be in the Asylum
Right.
because you're crazy. But yeah, I guess the story goes like there's one, well, there was it, Debbie Gibson plays this doctor. I guess she's a scientist or something,
He's a
like,
scientist and a environmentalist.
yes, and she lets free all of these snakes that were just giant snakes because, you know, into the Everglades, because, you know, if you're gonna put them somewhere, put them in the Everglades where, you know, there's lots of other stuff going on, I guess. I mean, I think she thought it was just a good idea to just let them free, you know,
Right.
so they're not experimented on anymore or whatever. And, but I wish we got more of that in the beginning of the movie, you know, because I didn't even know she set them free. Like, I didn't realize that,
Okay.
you
Well,
know.
here's the thing that made no sense to me, and I know I'm jumping ahead here, but we know that the Gatoroids were created because Tiffany later in, feeds them like super steroids. Still doesn't make any sense that these literal freeway sized snakes show up even before that happened. So I don't understand the whole thing where, oh, we got these giant snakes.
Well, as I think she said, she at the end of the movie, she said, I set them free.
Well, yeah, she did, but she didn't, they weren't that giant. They were regular sized snakes when they set them free.
I thought they were pretty big, you know?
I mean, they were pretty normal sized snakes. I mean, even, I mean, even something like an anaconda or something. Yeah. But I mean, there was nothing out of the ordinary, but the first snake that attacks is the size of a Buick. So it's like, I don't know.
I don't know how it got that big, you know, or whatever. Maybe they got into the steroids somehow or whatever. I don't know. But that's never explained. Yeah. So these creatures kind of get big, but they do explain later that and it's done in such a cheesy way that I get it. It was like probably something where they were reading the script going, we need an explanation of how the snakes got even bigger, right?
Right.
So we'll have Debbie Gibson explain it to the Indian guy. I forgot his name.
I know it was played by A. Martinez, but...
Do you know A. Martinez?
I don't know A. Martinez.
Okay. I don't know if he was somebody who I was supposed to know. What was his name? It was Diego Ortiz, which right. I'm like, that doesn't sound very Indian, but they kept calling him Indian, I think. Like, get the Indian guy out of here.
They wanted to cast a Native American, and then when they did, it's like, ah, we're not going to change the script. So
yeah, they were like, we can't find a Native American. Let's just do a Mexican character, which Hispanic is not Native American. But
right.
Whatever. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, I guess. So the movie, so she kind of explains to that guy, Diego, that I guess the creatures, what are the Gatoroids, they fed their Gatoroids, whatever, and then the snakes ate the same things that the Gatoroids ate, or whatever, the chickens or something, Gatoroids. And then that made them bigger.
Yeah, which is fine, except the snakes were giant before they started eating. So it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, they were already giant, but they got even more giant, I guess, at the end. You know, even more giant. But they were already giant snakes. And I'm like, there's no way these people could have put these snakes out and everything. And but anyway, Debbie Gibson is, you know, keeping track of the snakes, you know, and stuff. And then the snakes are killing off the gators, you know, now the gator population, which is, you know, kind of annoying the Everglade people, you know, the people. I don't know.
Cultural balance.
What is Tiffany? What is her character?
Park ranger that basically was in charge of the Everglades, and she took her job very seriously, and she is especially upset about the snakes after they kill her fiance.
So which one are you? Are you team, like, throughout watching this, were you team Tiffany or team Debbie?
Oh, I was flip-flopping back and forth.
Really?
They're both technically, like, if you break it down to it, they're both villains anyway. So it's like, I'm fine with either or.
Yeah.
As long as I didn't have to be Team Mickey Dolenz, I was happy.
Mickey Dolenz. That was funny. We'll get into that later. Tiffany wants to make sure that the Everglades has all the gators, all the gator population, whatever. They don't want them shooting, you know, hunting the gators. They want them hunting these snakes now, you know. So you send all the hunters out there, and of course the hunters are getting killed or whatever. And her boyfriend runs over one of the snakes.
Yes.
Because to save Debbie Gibson's life. Debbie Gibson gets mad. I'm going to say their names, not their character names, because it doesn't really matter. But, you know, runs over the snake to save the life. And, of course, Debbie Gibson is upset and is like, you know, like, how dare you?
Right.
How dare you kill my snakes? You know, I'm like, he was right. Like, the snake was literally about to eat her. Would she have been okay with it eating her? She was
You
not
have
okay with her eating her
logic.
friends.
Oh, you're watching Megapython versus Gatoroid. So you
What?
have to pretty much throw logic out the window when you're watching Megapython versus Gatoroid.
Really? There's no logic in this movie.
There's logic.
So yeah, there's very little logic, if
Did
there's
you happen
any.
that during the protest scene? That some of the protesters were wearing Debbie Gibson t-shirts.
I did not see that. Oh my God,
It
that's hilarious. So did it say her name on it?
just had her p picture on it, but there's one shot where literally it's like she's having a confrontation with Tiffany, and the extra directly behind her is wearing a huge Debbie Gibson face t-shirt. It's like, come on.
Why do they do that?
I think one of them had a Tiffany shirt on too, but I didn't notice that one. Somebody had said that she did though.
That's funny. Like so, that's I they must have did that as a joke, you know, but I there's a lot of in jokes. I think that's what makes the movie tolerable or like watchable is because it is tons of just in jokes, you know.
Right.
They're just They know what they know what they're doing. They're not making something, you know, artful. They're not making something meaningful. They're just making something that, you know, you want to see Tiffany. You want to see Debbie. You want to see a Megapython and a Gatoroid. That's
Right.
it. Anybody else? I don't even know why they put Mickey Dolenz in there. I think it
Because
was just
what
what?
else is Mickey Dolenz doing? So it's like,
Poor guy.
oh,
Apparently he did
right.
a
Did the
Apparently
monkey
he did
so much.
a what was that?
I said I hated the monkeys so much.
Apparently he did a Monkeys reunion in the 80s. He
And Tiff,
mentioned that.
what was it? Debbie Gibson opened for them.
So is that why they mentioned that? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, it was weird. Like it was such a weird sort of like once again, like you said, there was like Dead Seven, where they're just, you know, like what are these teen heartthrobs doing these days? You know, they're making
At 45.
asylum movies.
Yeah.
What?
At 45.
At 45, yeah. I mean, they're not singing anymore much.
Right.
Except Debbie and Tiffany both released songs, like original
Yeah. Oh,
songs.
they're both still performing. I think, what was it? They actually, now this was a couple of years ago, but I think they went out together on a tour in like
Nice.
Brazil or something.
Oh man, I'm sure they got a lot of Brazilian fans out there. But yeah, so anyway, so I mean the whole movie really is just set up like for them to create the Mega Python, the Gatoroid. They have to battle each other, all the snakes and everything are out there. They have to destroy them somehow. They fight because you know it's not just Mega Python versus Gatoroid that you see the battle of. You see a fight between Tiffany and Debbie, which is fun, you know.
Which is
No.
all anybody ever wanted anyway out of this movie, realistically.
I mean, if the asylum just made a whole movie that was just them two and them fighting, it would have been just as big. But of course,
Right.
they have to throw in the other stuff too, which you know, I mean, it was. That's all right. You just see this big giant python eating people. That's all you
Right.
want to see, you know. But anyway, so they have all this craziness happening, and then they finally are like basically getting the snakes. At one point, they're in a was a helicopter or whatever it was, helicopter, no, plane or something, right?
There were scenes with them in a helicopter and in a crop duster.
Crop
So
duster, and the crop duster like crashes, you know, and what's his name, Ortiz, we thought he was dead, I guess, but
right.
he wasn't, so that kind of confused the fuck out of me. Like I thought, like, you know, I guess she didn't see him die, so there was, you know, we didn't see him die either, because that was like so confused because she said he was gone or
Right.
whatever. And then he comes back and he kind of saves their tries to save their life. Tiffany gets eaten. Then eventually Debbie falls in and gets killed into the
Right.
water. And then so they're both dead, which is probably what they had in their contracts is, we want to get eaten.
Although maybe not, because Debbie is actually, if I'm not, I don't know if she's playing the same character, but I think she is. Debbie's done like three different Asylum films.
She's
And
not
I
playing the
thought it was
same
a,
character. It's a different
she's,
character.
oh, it is a different character? Okay.
Yeah. So Mega Shark. There's two Mega Shark movies with her in it, and both of them, she was a different doctor. It was another doctor
Okay.
character, but it was now that's the thing. Like, because I think she survived both of those, so it would have been interesting. And I think the reason they didn't keep her as that same character is because they were going to kill her off,
Oh,
and
okay.
stuff. So she can die in this one, but she can die in those two because. What if they want to bring another Mega Shark movie and they want to have her back in there, you know?
So she did Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus and Mega
Mm-hmm.
Far Mega Shark versus Mega Mecha Shark,
Mecha
both
Shark.
as Dr. Emma McNeil.
Yep. And this
Okay.
one, she was Dr. Nikki Riley. So I guess it's time to talk about the characters or the
Okay.
actors that played them. So we did, I mean, we've talked a good amount about Tiffany, which was played Terry O'Hara, who I guess was the I mean, you said park ranger, but there was no, I don't think there was any like mention of her actually being the park ranger, or anything. Like, it's just she had a park ranger shirt on and she was the, the main person that they talked to, right? Would have been.
I don't know. I have no clue.
And then next was Debbie Gibson playing Dr. Nikki Riley. A. Martinez was Dr. Diego Arti. Everybody's got to be a doctor in these movies. Catherine Justin, who I've seen her before. That lady. She was
I
the
know she was in, what was it? She was in Wedding Crashers. She was on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know. I remember seeing her in something specific. No, she was in Monk,
Okay.
and stuff like that. So, okay, she's in a bunch of she's been a lot of stuff. Man, I guess and unfortunately she passed away in 2012. So
Okay.
not far after this movie was made. I hope the movie didn't kill her. That would be terrible. RJ, who was my favorite character, he was like basically Deputy Dewey, he was like an idiot doofus character that tried to act all tough and stuff, but he was like, dude, you look like a t child, but he was great. I loved him. Justin was played by Carrie Van Dyke, and I don't know if you know much about the Van Dykes. Yeah, obviously Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Van Dyke and everything, but Cary Van Dyke is actually the grandson of his father's Barry Van Dyke, his grandfather's Dick Van Dyke, and his brother is Shane Van Dyke, who was also in the asylum, did a bunch of stuff at the asylum, like Titanic 2. Yes, there was a sequel to the Titanic.
Yes, I remember seeing the ads for the asylum doing that.
Yeah,
And
which
one
I.
thing that I mean, it's not like what was it? IMDb is a reputable source, but according to this, he also wrote Don't Worry, Darling, and the Chernobyl Diaries.
Yeah, so apparently he did a story. Both of them did a story for Don't Worry, Darling. But I don't know if he, because he's written a bunch of different stuff with his brother, Shane. And they have a bunch of projects coming out too. They're in like development and stuff. So it'll be nice to see if they, yeah, you like they wrote Chernobyl Diaries, I think at least yeah, Shane and Carrie did. And with Oren Peli, who did Paranormal Activity, if I'm correct. So yeah, I was happy, like that's a pretty cool thing, like when they're able to go out and do stuff after working with the Asylum. They've gone on to bigger and better careers. But they're Van Dykes. They should have been doing bigger stuff, you know? Like,
Right.
I mean, they should have used been able to sort of use their name. Now, maybe if they didn't want to, you know,
Right.
and stuff. But I mean, they have Dick Van Dyke is one of the biggest names and in television, you know, and everything, I would
Right.
say. So yeah, it's awesome to see him as Justin. I liked him. I guess he did. They didn't have enough money for him to be in the movie for long, you know. And plus, they needed that little tragedy to happen to
Right, exactly.
kick Tiffany into gear. Then we got Mickey Dolenz, you know, just shows up and he's just there as like, because they're having a fundraiser while like all of this craziness is going on. It becomes Jaws, where
Oh, but yeah, exactly. Well, and what cracks me up about that scene is it's basically a blatant ripoff of the ending of Alligator.
really.
The whole sequence at the end with the party and the Gatoroids and the snake showing up, it's like it's just Alligator. That's all it was.
I haven't seen Alligator forever. No, I think I saw it on VHS years ago. So yeah, that you know, that's years ago. So I need to rewatch. I know it's on like 4K now, so I could probably buy it
Right.
on there at some point. But yeah, I it's funny to see Mickey Dolenz, and he was like, can I go to my trailer? And they're like, trailer? You know, like
Right.
you weren't expecting to give him a trailer. For this, there's just a little event, you know. He needed to go regroup. And then he
Jet
gets
lag.
eaten. He gets
Yeah,
eaten.
exactly.
Because that's really what it was. It was just a chance to eat all these pop stars
Right,
and stuff,
exactly.
you know. Just the same, I'm sure Dead Seven, most if not all of the pop stars died by the zombies attack. Because
Oh, guaranteed, yeah.
all of them want that. They want to get die in these movies, you know? I mean, I would have been happy to die in a Mega Python movie.
Right, exactly.
All the rest of the characters, I really don't know who they are, except the Barbara character, who shows up. She was sort of like the I guess the PR
The
girl.
planner? Yeah, the PR
Yeah, the
girl.
planner. At first I was like, is that God, she looks so familiar. She looked like the chick from Child's Play, from the new one.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, the mom in
Yeah, which is damn it. She's famous. I'm gonna die with that, not knowing these names. She's Aubrey Plaza. For a second,
Okay.
I thought she was Aubrey Plaza, and I was like,
Oh, see, I wasn't thinking. I didn't realize you were talking about the. I would thought you were talking about the what was it? Curse of Chucky, the
Oh,
mom in that.
no. I'm
So,
talking about Aubrey Plaza. I thought for a
okay,
second, like, she
yeah,
looked a little
I
like
didn't
her.
get our Aubrey Plaza
She
vibes
didn't
from her.
act
I
like
will
her. I just
say,
thought for a second, like, when I saw her
yeah,
face, I was like, oh,
I
okay.
will say you had joked before about what was it? This movie killing the one actress because she had passed away in 2012. According to this, Barbara was played by Kristen Wilson, and this was the last movie she acted or she was involved in. So it may not have killed her, but it killed her career, apparently.
Which one?
Kristen Wilson, who played the real actress who played Barbara.
Okay. Yeah, so this movie killed her career.
Looks like it. She didn't do anything after it.
Well, or maybe she was just like, I don't want to do. Like, I don't.
Maybe she went to the she made the decision of retiring from acting at the premiere of Mega Python versus Gatoroid.
So you're telling me that this movie has made one person want to quit, and then 1 year later, one person died. You
No,
know, like, that's not a good start to this movie. But you know, whatever. That's not the legacy you want to
right.
have. Yeah, she, I guess she quit, but she hadn't really. I mean, she had done stuff like what, Soccer Mom, you know, which I don't think that was the Asylum, was it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not the Asylum, Movies like that where, yeah, it's goofy little projects and stuff. But yeah, and she seemed to be a comedic person.
Right.
Which she got all upset, like, because the was it Deb wasn't that the what's the one guy Diego was like,
Yeah.
you need to shut everything down. You can't have this party going on, because and totally, like, once again, it's Jaws. Like, it's
Right.
that scene. And
Oh, exactly.
what's her name's the mayor. And then they're like, oh, he's like, I'm gonna call a governor. He's like, go call a governor. I'm still having my party. And I'm like, she says that, like, they need to raise the money for the Everglades. Right?
Yeah, that's the whole gimmick of the thing there, yeah.
Like, to save the Everglades, the whole Everglades, they need to raise the money with this. Like, I'm like, if you are trying to save money like that, like, that's the, this fundraiser is the least of your problems right
Right.
now. Like, you
Well,
have bigger issues.
speaking of money, here's one thing that just kind of shocked me. I've been sitting here making fun of this movie and saying how the digital effects are awful and whatnot, but at the end of the day, I do love this movie. I really, truly do. The thing that fascinates me is we've been talking about the fact that they got Mary Lambert to direct, Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, Mickey Dolenz. According to what I'm seeing online, this movie only cost $500,000 to make.
And I think that's a I okay, so how on IMDb they have the budgets.
Yeah.
Generally, what the budget is usually higher than what it actually is on IMDb. And usually that's so that people think, oh man, they spent that much money on it, but really they didn't, to give
Right.
them whatever. You lie, on
Right.
IMDb a lot. Just the same as actors lie about their freaking height.
Right.
On
Oh, exactly.
IMDb. So I don't even think it costs that much. I think they cap themselves off at like 200 grand,
Wow.
generally speaking. Now, this may have cost a little bit more, only because they do have a few of the names, and the effects were pretty, and like the names, including Mary Lambert's name
Right.
involved in it. But funny thing is, she continued to go into the world of television after this. And she's a great TV director, She's also, she's Pet Sematary is probably, one of my favorite Stephen King movies,
Oh
or
yeah,
whatever. That and The
definitely.
Shining are up there. Pet Sematary 2, which she also directed, not so much, but
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of
yeah,
the second one.
I don't like it. A lot of those things depend on the writing and everything. And speaking of the writing, the writer of this worked with the Asylum a lot, and was like their premier person. It was Naomi L. Selfman. So I
Okay.
think she worked, she's done a lot of them stuff, and then she ended up doing a lot of their like a bunch of Lifetime stuff.
Oh,
But
okay.
it's funny, because she started with Evil Eyes. She wrote that, which was an Asylum. I think it wasn't a, it might have been produced by them, but I know it was distributed. It could have been, yeah, it was produced by the Asylum. And then she wrote like 2012 Doomsday. And then she did a bunch of these, like 18-Year-Old Virgin and number one Cheerleading Camp. And then she did Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus and Mega Python versus Gatoroid back to back. So
Oh.
in a year apart from each other. So sort of was their premier go-to, yes, Asylum writer, which, look, it's a gig,
Right. Now,
and
this was the only movie that Mary Lambert directed for the Asylum. Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know if that was like, if there was a reason for that, or if she just started booking bigger stuff or something,
Right.
because she did this. As I said, she's been a big in TV, but she did Presumed Dead in Paradise, which I don't think is the Asylum. I'll look and see. Nope. Is not the Asylum. So then she did The Blacklist, Arrow. She did one episode of Arrow for the CW. She did the one episode of The Goldbergs. She did one episode. So she seems to be a one episode person. She did one episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, which I love. She directed a Christmas movie, A Castle for Christmas for Netflix. Now I want to see that. It stars Brooke Shields and Cary Elwes. So I want to see that now. I'll watch that. I'm trying to watch a bunch of Christmas movies, so I'll definitely check that out. And she's got a bunch in the works, including a remake of The Keep.
Huh, okay. Maybe that'll make them finally put the Keep out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's in development, so she's attached to direct it, so awesome. She did an episode of Shining Vale, which I've seen on Stars recently, and it's a show. I can't, I can't say it's a great show, but I can say I don't know. I watched a couple episodes and was like, I'm not sure how I feel yet. Courteney Cox and was it Greg Kinnear, somebody like that,
So
somebody.
bottom line, what was your takeaway from Megapython versus Gatoroid?
My take on it. I don't know. Honestly, when I was watching it, originally when I first came out in like 2011, I thought, oh my God, this is so much fun and silly and goofy and fun, And then now that I'm watching it, I've seen so many of them. It's okay. It's not the worst of the Asylum, but it could have been better. I think if they
So what's the best of the asylum? I have to ask.
It's tough because I think I like a lot of their earlier work a lot, especially the stuff they did with Lee Scott back in those days and stuff. I like their earlier work because I feel like they weren't trying to be like Sharknado or
They
whatever, you know.
basically weren't looking for gimmick movies.
Right. They were just having fun and they were making things that they thought, yeah, I mean, they did King of the Lost World or whatever, like they did Mockbusters, but their Mockbusters didn't feel like mock, but now they feel like Mockbusters, I guess. So I don't know. I like their earlier work a little bit more, but I still enjoy, after working with them, I like enjoy them even more, I guess, because I like respect what they did. The worst one, and we've already reviewed this, the worst one I've seen so far is Alien versus Hunter. And that
I've
is
heard
just,
that's painful, yeah.
that's painful. That's terrible. Still not a 30, on the list, but it's high up there. It's a high movie. It's pretty bad. But this movie is a, I mean, it's okay. It's got moments where I'm like, it could have been a hell of a lot better. But what was your take on it?
I had a blast with it. And again, my rationale isn't necessarily a good one. Do I think that Megapython versus Gatoroid is a good movie? No, absolutely not. In fact, I'll even go as far as to say that if it weren't for Debbie Gibson and Tiffany being in it, it would have lost about 90% of its charm. But that being said, they are in it. And just that fact alone, I thought it was a lot of fun. I even appreciate the painfully bad CG, the stilted performances, the poorly written script. I just had fun with
Did you enjoy like the lines where they're just basically said their song titles,
it. I caught those a couple of times too. That was I also love the scene where during the Mars Attacks-esque showing of the city being destroyed. They see Debbie Gibson points out the helicopter and says, "Oh, they got to the mall," and they show the Gatoroids destroying the mall, and Tiffany goes, "I always hated the mall." So it's like, okay, that's funny.
Yeah, so they did a lot of poking fun at themselves, which was nice. They like yeah, you're right. If it weren't for Tiffany and Debbie being in the movie, I think the movie would have just, I mean, it wouldn't have had the appeal because it just would have been two women, yet that
Right,
were
exactly.
random. It would have to be like, it would have to have been another couple pop stars, fighting each other,
Oh, exactly.
or star movies, like former movie stars, ones that have fallen off on Scott Baio, or something,
Right.
which I don't think they'd ever cast him because he's, huh. I don't think he's their type.
Right.
That's the thing with politics now, like some of these people are not going to be working for a lot of
Right.
these companies anymore or whatever, and they have to produce their own stuff. Tiffany and Debbie, I think, are two sweethearts who they knew each other for a long time, so they had a chemistry. You can
Right.
definitely see that when you watch the movie, like there's definitely a big chemistry between
Oh,
them.
I agree, definitely.
All the other characters, all the other actors, not as much. I mean, but a lot of these films, like they shoot it in 10 days, generally speaking, which for a normal Hollywood production is nothing. They
Right.
edit it in like 3 months and have it out by then, right? So generally speaking, they're fast,
Oh,
when they
yeah,
make a movie,
definitely.
which is great because there's no time to dilly-dally. You watch the movie, the movie's in production, the movie comes out, and people go goo goo gaga over it.
Right, exactly.
But they have to if they're doing mockbusters, because they
Oh,
have to,
well, they
like,
have to be, yeah, time is of the essence. They have to get it out when it's still, when the film that they're mocking is still in the public eye.
I'll tell you a funny story though. This has nothing to do with Mega Python, but this is funny. Okay, so Top Gun 2 was supposed to come out last year, right?
Yeah.
And it got pushed back because of COVID delays or whatever, all this stuff. So they made Top Gunner with Eric Roberts, right? When they were about to do it, like, they knew, oh, okay, this movie is getting made now. We're gonna get, whatever. Didn't come out. They still released Top Gunner. Right. So then when Top Gun 2 finally comes out, they did Top Gunner 2
Yeah.
right in time. So
That's
it was
great.
actually made more sense because of part
Right.
two,
Oh,
of
yeah.
both. So, I mean, it worked. But they weren't planning to do that. They were just planning, oh, Top Gun, Top Gun, or Top Gun
It's
2,
just a
Top
happy
Gunner.
accident.
Yeah. So good for them. I mean, I like, hey, they're making movies and they're making fun, goofy shit that people enjoy,
Right. Oh,
and
exactly.
I love it. As far as I know, it's like, I don't even know if sci-fi does these kind of movies anymore, because all I see from them is like wrestling and stuff, random shit on their infomercials and other stuff. I don't really see as much. I think they still do. I think they still put that stuff out there, but it's like all these channels are like rebranding themselves and changing, and I don't like it. It's like, what's the point of calling yourself sci-fi if you're going to be the wrestling channel or something,
Right. Oh, exactly.
or you're gonna, I think they do other TV shows that have nothing to do with horror, sci-fi. So like, why call yourself sci-fi if you're not going to do that? Well, sci-fi, it's not even sci-fi. So we have the Mary Lambert. I mean, all the rest of the, what did you think of the music?
It didn't stand out. I know, what was it, Debbie Gibson and Tiffany both contributed a track to it and served as producers, so they must have been behind it.
It was so funny because I remember the music a little bit, like I don't know, did Chris Ridenour do it? Because they have like specific people that they use all the time,
Right.
or whatever, for their music, and I think Chris Ridenour was one of their top composers at that time. Yep, Chris Ridenour. I like him a lot. I like
Yeah.
his. I like he
It
just.
wasn't distracting. I don't think it was bad. It just didn't jump out at me. Let's put it
Yeah,
that
it
way.
was. It didn't have like a theme that like.
Right.
In the beginning of the movie too, it doesn't have a film by Mary Lambert. It said a film by the Asylum.
Oh, yeah, I
like
don't know what that was all about.
maybe either Mary said I don't want my name on that as like a film by, because she still had the director directed by
Right.
at the end, but or the Asylum was just like, this isn't a Mary Lambert movie, this is an Asylum movie, and so we're gonna.
Well, even going as far as again during that ridiculous siege on the city, a blimp with the Asylum logo gets destroyed by a mega python. So it's just
I
like, come
forgot about
on.
that. That's funny. That was so bad. Like they pretty much knew what they were doing, you know, when they were doing this. They just want to have so many like little in jokes, not just about Tiffany and Debbie, but about themselves, which I thought
Right.
was pretty cool. So yes, we got that, and then we got yeah, I said the music, but you said the music was Tiffany and Debbie did a track, and Debbie's track. What was that song like? Because the original song, I've heard this before, where it goes, na 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 na, and
I'm
you know,
not
I've heard
sure.
it before, and then it was supposed to be a snake charmer.
Well, I know that, what was it? She's primarily stuck with either doing Broadway tunes or like Debbie Gibbs, or I'm sorry, Britney Spears type dance music. And I think, what was it? Tiffany's tried to step outside of that. So yeah, but I'm not sure what song you're referring to.
Oh, I was talking about her, the one that she did in this
Well,
thing,
no,
but it
I
had
know
like,
that. I'm saying the one that you took the riff from. I'm not sure.
I don't remember, like I remember I've heard that before, so I don't know what it was for, but anyway, it was that, and then there was then the her the other one did Serpentine or whatever. So I'm
Right.
like, two snake ones? Why not? Like a gator. She was the gator girl. She should have done a
I
gator
guess it's
song.
difficult to rhyme things with Gatoroid. I don't
Gator, I mean, I could probably come up with some cool rhymes with
know.
that. I mean, you don't even have to. You just, you know, I mean, oh man, and that one dude, Justin, the Carrie Van Dyke's character at one point goes later gator, and I was like, oh God. God, cheesy. You know, like I'm like, I understand she likes gators, but like, do you really gotta be that cheesy? Like,
Right,
she should have
exactly.
been a line where she was like, oh my God, you're a cheese ball or something, you know, because I really was like, oh my God, that's terrible.
Right.
But you know, I get it. I don't know. I mean, I it's not, like I said, it's not the worst movie the Asylum's done. It's not
Right.
the best movie. It's sort of, and it's not mediocre at all. It's not, you know, I'd actually think it's pretty high up there on this, you know, Paul or somebody like that would probably, you know, I think he gave this on Letterboxd like 1.5 stars. Like, this is not his type of thing. But he also did not like Tiffany
Nah,
and
see, that's the bug.
yeah, I think if you enjoy Tiffany, I just love that they were sort of the inspiration for Robin Scherbatsky and How I Met Your Mother, you know. You ever seen that show?
I don't watch the show, no.
Well, there's a Canadian actress, Colby Smulders, who plays Robin Scherbatsky, and she's sort of like, she sings songs about being in a mall, you know, and stuff like that, and you know, all in the mall or whatever, you know, and stuff. And so she was obviously based on, you know, both of those characters, you know. So I don't know. It was just it's just really funny to know that. I mean, I think that they should be in more movies together, honestly.
I agree. I would definitely agree with that. But I guess Debbie Gibson does a bunch of what is it? Like Hallmark type stuff too. So I don't know.
Like Lifetime and
Yeah,
Hallmark and
Lifetime stuff.
yeah. I think Asylum does a lot of that too, so maybe they've
Oh,
done
does it?
some with the
Maybe it's with
Asylum. I'm not sure. I mean, Lifetime probably is just like, hey, we'd love to, you know, get you
Right.
involved in this stuff, because, you know, they're always looking for people who have had a past career that, you know, I don't want to say that isn't, because I mean, like you said, they're still touring and still doing stuff, as you know, right? Like you said, at
Oh yeah.
least Tiffany, right,
I think they both
was.
are, yeah.
So they're still touring and doing stuff together. Good for them.
I don't think
You
they're
know.
doing it together anymore, but they're still going out and doing stuff.
Yeah, but they're doing it like, yeah, they're out there on their own doing
Right.
these tours. So good for them. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of Tiffany and Debbie fans that still want to come listen to them. I mean, people still listen to the Rolling Stones, you know,
Right.
and other groups that are still playing, you know, like there's that line that Almost Famous. I mean, you know, is are these people going to still be doing this when they're in their 50s? You know,
Right.
yeah, they are, because you know, why not? You know, people still remember, you know, their music or whatever. Okay, so you say you're a fan of them, but were you a fan of them in the 80s?
Here's what's weird. I was a fan of them in the 80s, and then I completely just didn't care after that until I came across what was it? Mega Snake versus Gatoroid, and then all of a sudden it just opened up this new new infatuation.
Yeah. See, there you go. Like,
So
they
I can thank the Asylum for my romance with Debbie Gibson and Tiffany.
bringing it back, making you feel something,
Yep.
reigniting your feelings toward
That's right.
All right. Well, I think we're about that time now to start giving our thoughts on scoring this. So usually Paul's here to kind of give us the rundown of how to do it, but so since he's not here, I will. For those of you who have heard, and for those of you who do not know, we do a thing called the stinkometer, and the stinkometer is a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being very, very good, and 10 being very, very stinky. You know, and stinky doesn't necessarily have to be bad. You know, a cheesy, stinky, whatever. You know. Just whatever you want to call it. Or you can do a 0.5, like say you're between 5 and 6, you can do a 5.5, you know, so on and so forth. So that being said, I can't wait to hear yours. And we will get a third person that will have
Right.
another part of this show. I sadly won't be with both of us, but
Right.
probably be with me talking about their feelings on this one.
Well,
So, James, tell us your score.
mine has to be a two-parter, only because of the fact that I'm rating this as because Tiffany and Debbie Gibson are in it, and if they were not. So, because they're in it, I'm going to give this a 3.5.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. The stinkiest is the 10, right?
Right. Ten
Okay,
is
then I'm
stinky.
giving it a 7.5. I apologize.
7.5. Okay.
Yeah, because it's not a good, again, it's not a good movie.
Right.
Yeah, but I had fun with it, and the majority of the reason I had fun with it was because they were in it. If they were not in it, I would give it a one, a 9.
A 9. Okay, but they are in it, so you're going to give it a 7.5.
I'm gonna give it a 7.5.
Okay. So I will say, okay, well, I'll do a two-parter then for that too. With them being in or with them being not in it. I would have to go lower, you know.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's funny. I'm the one talking. You're the one talking great about it, but I have to go lower on the scale because even though it is pretty damn stinky, that's pretty
Yeah,
bad,
it's
but
pretty.
it's still a fun thing with them. So I would definitely give it a 6.5. But if they
Okay.
weren't in it, it would be a 10,
Got it.
probably
Okay.
because I think really, really, literally, what does it for me is just the added enjoyment of seeing them together,
Oh
you know.
yeah, I 100% agree. It's a beautiful disaster. That's the best way I could describe it.
Maybe I wouldn't give it a 10. That's a little harsh. I
I
would
would
give it
say
a 9 if they weren't in it.
I think 9 is fair.
9
Yeah.
is good. But yeah, but if since they're in it, I'd give it 6.5 because it's not great. But it's like I said, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen from the Asylum. And the Asylum is pretty damn good at creating something fun and goofy
Right.
and silly.
Now, I
And
will say, though, all that aside, I guess there's a third part to this. If I'm going just as a guilty pleasure, this is easily in my top 10 guilty pleasures of all time.
really?
Yeah. I mean, right up there with Hell of the Living Dead and Pieces. movies like that. I think this is something that I can definitely see me rewatching and just shaking my head going, how in the hell does this exist? So,
well, there you go. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show and
thank
and
you
chatting
for having
and everything.
It's always a blast.
Yes. Yeah, so everybody else, so it's going to be April. I'm sure you won't know exactly what's going on in April, but give us like a future glimpse of what should be happening by April for you.
Well, let's see here. In theory, my new movie Trivial should be out by April or May. We've had it's been a long road on that one. It's a revenge horror thriller that we've been working on with Sasha Graham. And aside from that, just trying to get acting gigs. That's about it.
All right. Well, hey, if anybody wants to cast you, go contact James L. Edwards and cast him in a movie.
I'm cheap. Bring me aboard.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. And tune in. We will have another guest talking about their thoughts on Megapython versus Gatoroid. Until then, everybody, goodbye. All right. Hey, guys, welcome back. And I've got a special guest here who, wow, she's been in a lot of these podcasts lately. And I think she's got one that she's actually hosting that's coming up. Yes. She is almost like, I was telling Paul the other day, you're like another, you know, another co-host for us. You know, you've been on so many times lately and we love it.
I'm okay with that.
Yes. Please welcome Liz Fletcher. How you doing, Liz?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you, Jonathan?
Good. So I asked you to come in here because this is really last minute. Like, this is literally coming down to the wire for the show. And I thought, let's get, somebody. And I asked one person, they said, sure, and I never did it. You never came on. So I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? And I asked you, and you, you know, said, sure. So you're very down to do this. And awesome.
Yeah. I love doing these, honestly.
Well, these are like, this one's a little sillier. So I want to hear your thoughts. What are your beginning thoughts of this?
So I didn't have very high expectations, but then I looked at it on IMDb real quick because I know you're probably like me. Every time you see a movie, you want to go on IMDb and look up the actors. So I saw that Tiffany and Debbie Gibson were in it. And I was like, what? Because
are you fans? Are you a fan of them?
Not so much of Debbie Gibson, but I was a huge fan of Tiffany's. Not anymore, obviously. I had a couple of her CDs and I'd listen to her music all the time.
Nice.
It was very nostalgic for me.
I remember, what is it, Robin Scherbatsky or whatever from How I Met Your Mother was sort of like supposed to be sort of like Tiffany, like singing songs about the mall and shit like that.
Yeah.
So that's how I always remember Tiffany. But Tiffany and Debbie Gibson, so you were happy to see her in a movie?
Yeah, and there were quite a few faces I recognized on there. Actually, I was kind of surprised. A lot of the times these lower budget horror films that we watch, just they kind of just pull from wherever they can sometimes. But A. Martinez, who played Dr. Diego Ortiz, he's been in a lot of stuff, I feel like. He was in this show called Longmire. I don't know if you watched that.
I didn't, but I know of it.
Yeah, that was that's a really good show if you get a chance to watch it. And then I had to take notes because I'm horrible with names. Catherine Justin, who played Angela or Angie. She was kind of the secretary at the sheriff's office.
The secretary, yeah. She's been a lot of stuff.
Or the assistant. Oh, my gosh. She's in everything.
I know. Like, I noticed her when I was rewatching it today going, yep, I know this, you know, I know this lady, you know. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, I had a patient maybe within the last year or two, and she looked like that woman, Catherine Justin.
That's funny. Did you tell her that? Did you realize?
Oh, no, no, no,
Remind
no,
me.
no, no.
What's that, is that mean? That's not mean.
No, I'm not. It's not mean, but I mean, the patients that I was taking care of at the time are coming out of anesthesia, so they wouldn't have remembered anything I said anyway.
Oh, okay.
They probably would have thought I was crazy or something.
I
Oh,
mean, you
anyways,
are,
so
but it's okay. You
well,
know.
yeah, I embrace my craziness, and I think it makes life more fun sometimes. Anyway, so overall, I really thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It's not meant to be serious, really. I mean, there were a couple of moments in there that were a little emotional, but it's just supposed to be fun. You know, you're supposed to be able to laugh at it. It's got pretty incredible special effects.
I mean, incredible as in
Like
bad or
stuff that you would see in a PS2 game.
right, like old school effects, not new school good effects.
So my son walked through the living room when I was watching it, and he's just looking at the TV and the effects, and he's like, "Mom, I've got no words."
So he stopped playing his video game to look at this screen that looked like a video game.
Yeah, it was cute and funny. But it's so funny. Kids nowadays, they don't really know bad special effects. All the movies that are really big out there are, you know, you got the Avengers, DC.
There's been some talk, like, you know, I don't know if you watched She-Hulk or anything, but that had some
I didn't watch
terrible
it.
CGI.
I heard nothing
Yeah.
but awful things about it.
Right. So, like, some of the stuff, in fact, I have a feeling a little bit of that's why they fired the head of special effects for Marvel, is they had an excuse for it, but I think also she's just been doing poorly with the effects team
Yeah.
and stuff. And it was whatever they used as an excuse to fire her, I think, was actually an excuse, because I think what they can't fire her for bad effects, I don't think. Maybe they
Yeah.
can. But yeah, so it's been terrible effects lately, so they need to get their shit in
Yeah,
gear.
I don't think the content has been up to par compared with what we're used to seeing from
Yeah.
them.
But the Asylum, the company that made this movie, I mean, they don't have the budget that, you know,
Yeah.
that Marvel has, you know, or whatever. So they made what they could with this.
Oh, and I think for the budget that they had, it wasn't horrible. Like, I wasn't mad. I mean, it made it a little bit comedic, I think. So, like I said, in the beginning, it's not supposed to be a straight out horror film. It's one of the horror comedies, you know? And so that's just the effects just added to it. The storyline itself, I just was trying to wrap my head around, like, granted, this is not real life, but here this woman, Debbie Gibson's character, just releases I almost said shit ton. Can I say that on
Yeah,
here?
yeah.
Okay.
Curse.
She just released a shit ton of pythons out into the Florida Everglades. Like, why? So one of these, well, several of these pythons probably end up killing the most poorly dressed sheriff's department employee I've ever seen, played by Tiffany. Her fiance gets eaten, and so she decides to give these alligators steroid injected raw chicken. I don't know. I'm sorry, it was just comical. And so then, you know, you've got this very dramatic moment where there's this goofy music playing, and you see these alligators start to get ripped. I'm so sorry. It was just it I enjoyed it. It made me laugh. The acting wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible either. But overall, I enjoyed it. So I think I'm ready to give my stinkometer rating.
Okay. What do you say? So, to remind everybody, it's a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not stinky at all, and 10 being very stinky, and everything. And you could also do a 0.5 if you feel that, it's not you can't tell which you don't you're not sure which one you want to do, like, 4 or 5, you can give 4.5. So, all right, Liz, take it away.
So, I would say I would give it a 6. It wasn't horrible. I was thoroughly entertained, like these movies I feel like are supposed to do. And but would I watch it again? Probably not.
You want to watch it again? It's not something you'd be like, I'm bored. Let's watch Make a
Well,
Bike Off
I'm
versus
not gonna.
Paperweight.
At a certain point throughout the movie, and this could just be because I'm like, I worked all weekend and I'm just like super tired. But I got to a point where I was watching the movie and I was kept thinking, oh my gosh, is this almost over yet?
And the worst part is when it's on Tubi, you get those commercials, and sometimes there's like
Yeah,
six
that kind of
commercials. So,
disrupts the flow. Yeah.
this kind of sucks, but at least you watched it, you sat through the whole thing, you made it through, you survived,
I
and
did. I made it.
you deserve a sticker that says "I survived Mega Python versus Gatoroid." I mean, it's directed by Mary Lambert, who did Pet Sematary, and then she also did Pet Sematary 2. And then she's done, tons of different things. And it's
Yeah.
so funny because, the direction wasn't bad, like there's nothing
Oh, yeah.
terrible with the direction, but it's just sort of like still sort of a stinky movie, like
Right.
it should have been better, actually, no, maybe not. Not with the title of Mega Python versus Gatoroid,
Yeah.
it should have been worse, because
Yeah.
at least with that title, you're kind of getting something ridiculous and stuff. But I mean, they took it seriously, they had fun, and I don't know if you caught a couple of their in jokes. They did do a couple, and we talked about it on the last podcast, but they did a couple in jokes where they did the their song titles as like word, like phrases that they used and
Yeah.
stuff. And they did that on purpose to kind of
Oh, yeah. Like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing.
they knew what they were doing, and
Yeah.
either it was written that way or they were just like, while they were there, they just came up with it on the
Improv.
spot. I don't know, but I do sort of want to own this movie. I don't know how much I'll want to keep watching it. It's not the greatest, but
But
it's,
just to collect and have.
I mean, it's not a terrible movie, by any stretch of the imagination. It could be a hell of a lot worse, At least it's not Amityville, Mega Python versus Gatoroid.
Would have been an interesting environment for the film to take place.
Yeah, in the house, the Amityville house. There's like Mega Python and Gator. No, see, there's an idea for a story.
And then you've got the ghost Mega Python.
The ghost of the Mega Python, because Mega Python dies early on, and then
Right.
the ghost comes back and starts haunting.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, at this rate, what, people are just doing random shit, and
Oh, there's such a race to put content out there. Yeah, it's
well, in ridiculous content on
yeah.
purpose, because we kind of live in that age where we're sort of tired of like watching the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
People, to go back to Marvel, people are tired of Marvel a little
Yeah.
bit, because and it's sad, but I'm actually talking about how You know, somebody was asking me the other day, like, when you want to work for Marvel, and I was like, I just don't see that being a long-term job
Yeah.
anymore. You know, sadly, comic book movies are kind of dying. You know, they'll have like 10 more years maybe, and then hopefully something halfway through starts to pick up, and that's just the way it is right now. Like, and I think people are preparing for that, you know, so. But the Asylum are just gonna keep making this, you know, because why not? You know, it's
I
gonna
wouldn't
be.
mind being part of one of their films. I mean,
I don't.
it was fun to watch. It looked like it'd be fun to be a part of.
Their sets are fun. I mean, I was part of one of their sets, and I had a fun time. I enjoyed being there, and you know, it. You know, the people there are just fun to hang out with, you know, and stuff, and that's what you need. You know, the producer came on set and hung out with everybody, you know, who one of the guys who owns the studio came out and hung out, you know, like he didn't need to stop by. He's running, you know, running shit, but he did, you know, because they really like to take care of their movies and stuff, and make sure things are going well. And this movie, I think, you know, it was just they were just like, we gotta get Tiffany, and we got to get Debbie Gibson together, and then Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, and put them all in a movie somewhere. What are we gonna do? And
I'm impressed they got all those people on there.
well, I was just a little sad that Tiffany, not Tiffany, Debbie Gibson did not play her character from Mega Shark, because she was in the Mega Shark movies. So if they're gonna do Mega Python, you know, but I guess it's a different character because it's different animal. It's not a shark, it's a snake now. But she's, you know, maybe they're gonna do Mega Shark versus, you know, Gatoroid, but they decided to do Mega Python instead. I don't know. Both of, that would have been a great movie. I would have watched Mega Shark versus Gatoroid, you know. Maybe that'll be their next movie they'll do eventually.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a plausible storyline
No.
either. Just
In
come up with
fact,
something.
probably it would be better if it's not. You know,
Probably.
right? Yeah, probably cheaper to make something that's just utterly ridiculous, has no point to it. But I don't know. Anyway, I enjoyed it too. I just, you know, I'm kind of like you. I might watch it again one day, but not
Not any
for,
day soon.
yeah, not right now. Like, I was rewatching it, and I was like, I don't think I need to rewatch this whole thing, you know, to talk to you about it, you know, because I've already seen it. I pretty much know the gist of what happens, you know, and everything. But thank you, Liz. This is awesome. It's
Yeah, of
always a
course.
pleasure to have somebody come on the show and still have like, as you know, speak with us and stuff. Even if you can't be on the original show, I don't know why. Maybe you were busy, because you know, when I wanted to ask you before or something, because, or maybe I was having you on something else. That seems to
Well,
be
I
the case.
think you've got me on two podcasts next week.
Yep, I do. So.
But I do know that you ask me a lot, and anybody who knows me knows how absolutely horrible I am about responding to messages. And so you could have mentioned one to me at some point, and I just forgot to write it on my calendar. But I
I don't think that was the case. I don't think I asked you. I don't think I asked you. I think I wanted to ask you, and I knew you were busy or something. So
I'll always make time for this show.
I know, and that's the, I think once again, Paul will love to hear that, because you know, Paul and I were talking about it. We're just like, we wish you were local here in Virginia, because that we could put you to more work, you know. Maybe one day we'll all be in the same area all the time, you know, for weeks, and so we can make that happen, you know. We gotta fly you out. Yeah, we talked about that. We gotta fly you out for like a week.
I've got a pretty open schedule right now.
There you go. So we'll definitely have you come out and do this stuff, and thank you so much. Everybody,
Yeah.
thank thank you guys for listening. Liz will be back, I think, this week. Let me double check on that, but I think we
I
do
want to
your.
say
Well,
Tuesday,
no,
Wednesday.
I think, yeah. So we did a podcast a while back that you hosted and everything, and I can't say what it is right now because we don't let anybody know till it comes out, you know, what we did. I don't know why we do that, but I think it's just in case things get switched up or changed or something. We don't want to promise something
Oh,
that doesn't happen.
yeah.
Yeah, so that, as far as right now, it's already all scheduled and ready. So you will be back this month for a brand new for an episode that you're hosting. I bet you can't even remember what that was because it's so long ago.
It just seemed like it was a while ago. I was so nervous about that too.
I know, but you did a great job. And I think Jason joined us on that one, if I'm correct. You know, so that was fun.
Yeah, was it gargoyles?
No. I think we did do gargoyles for man eaters. That was man eaters, but no, I'll mention it now. Fuck it. So in a couple weeks you guys will be listening to Fear Inc. You know. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember it.
There you go.
I
So
think I'm mixing it up with that one about the video store, though. Oh, yeah, because I picked Fear Inc., didn't I?
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah.
you're the host of that one. You picked it. That was your choice.
It's been a really crazy few
No,
months.
I remember the video store one. We already posted that one, I think.
Yeah.
And that was like a 31 days of indie horror, if I'm correct. And it was like the guy at the video store, the couples rent a video or something, and they're supposed to return it. You know, it's called like
So
Leafy or
awful.
something, and they had to return the movie or whatever, and then I made you
I
watch that
loved
one.
the concept of that one. I loved the concept, but the little individual shorts that they did were just,
Yeah, so the concept was great. The execution
yeah.
was not as great. Like, would have been better if the shorts were better. I remember that. So yeah. We'll have you we'll definitely have you back, because I'm doing a new first time watch Fridays, which is basically what's taking over for 31 days of indie horror. You know, I'm not doing 31 days this year. I don't know if I'll be back to doing it next year or not. I might just keep it going with this, you know, first time watch Fridays.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing where I'll just pick a movie from Tubi, no idea if it's any good or not, you know, and then just have somebody watch it. It's fun that way to me, you
It
know,
is.
like,
Yeah.
yeah, because you have no idea. It could be a great movie, it could be a stinker, you know,
Never know.
but you don't know until you watch it, so once again, I want to thank you so much and everybody else. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Tune in next week. It'll be actually on Easter Sunday. So it'll be the day before Monday. So, because we wanted to do something different for you. So, Easter and 4th of July are going to have actual movies on those dates, your reviews on those dates, podcasts. So, check that out. And then also tune in 2 weeks where, Liz will be doing one she doesn't remember now, but it'll be up there for all of us to listen to and everything. That's the beauty is sometimes I don't even remember doing these things. Done them like in so far in advance.
I think that's what gets me too, is like some of them we do so far in advance. It's like you forget what you talked about.
I know, we forget what we talked about, we forget what we did. I have to actually, I'm glad I write it down because I would totally forget what
Yeah.
movies I did. And I'll be like, damn it, did I do this one already? Or, if I do it on another show, that's fine. You know, even if it's another podcast, it's fine. Because usually I have new people talking, you know, but if it's If it's something I've already picked before, I can't do that, you
I
know.
mean, I don't know. I think it's okay. Like, it reminds me of growing up when my dad would reuse some of his old sermons.
Okay. All right. I
I don't
get
know
that.
why.
Well, there you go. I'm reusing my old
I'm running on
sermons.
very little sleep here, just so you know.
It's fine. People are like, why are they still on right now talking? But oh well, I don't care. You know, that happens.
Called slap happy people.
Slap happy people. There you go.
Slap happy people. Yeah, see what I mean? Oh.
right, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed James and you enjoyed Liz's perspectives on everything, let us know in the comments below. Until then, everybody, have a good one and see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.